BBC Six Music Podcasts. Six Music. This is a free download from the BBC. Find out more at bbc.co.uk/6music. And now, Adam and Joe.
Hello again from the big British castle. We hope you're happy with the service that you're paying for. If you're not, please let us know and we will change it all. Because we don't want you to knock the castle down with giant sticks.
Hello, this is Adam.
Hey, this is Joe.
Welcome to another podcast.
Award-winning.
These are award-winning. These are the condensed nuggets from our regular Six Music show every morning, Saturday
nuggets.
Morning, that is, from 9 till 12. And we actually trailed the fact that in this podcast we were going to be resolving an email that we got all about Tick and a Todger. Tick and a Todger, mate, because Text the Nation this week was all about self-surgery and little operations that you'd done on yourself or a friend.
Somebody got a tick in their Todger, but unfortunately the text message system here at the Big British Castle is unable to operate after we've left the studio, so we've been unable to find that text. We're sorry to disappoint excited Todger Tick fans, not to be able to bring them the payoff to that exciting story.
But Joe was recalling that maybe the payoff was something to do with the mate, the bloke, the Australian guy, biting off the end of the...
I'm not sure it was biting.
I would think it was biting.
You've provided that little colourful extra embellishment.
That's what they do. If you got a tick in the todge, mate, the best way to get rid of it is just...
You can't stop biting todgers.
To bite the end off the tick in the todge, and obviously don't mistake the end of the todge for the end of the tick. Mm. Otherwise, you've got a different kind of situation going there altogether.
What if you end up biting the tick's todger? So there's a tick in a todger and the tick's todger. It's like...
teeth in the todger of the tick.
Like Russian dolls, never-ending todgers and ticks.
It's exactly like Russian dolls.
If you didn't hear the show on Saturday, you'll have no idea what we're talking about. Right. But it'll actually become clear as this exciting highlights podcast plays out. Yeah.
This was our celebratory show because, as you'll discover, we won an award this week. We're delighted.
Have we mentioned it?
Well, we mentioned it like in passing once or twice.
4 million times.
And we're going to cast.
I'm having the award tattooed on my face.
Yeah. We're going to be quite self-aggrandizing because this is the way it goes in the media. You win an award and you just never shut up about it.
Do you think?
Definitely.
Or do you not think that if you're too excited about it, it kind of rules you out for more awards? You know, don't give those to another award. They were so pathetically excited about the first one, it basically brought down the tone of the whole awards themselves.
Well, we'll find out.
Don't sully our awards with those two.
Anyway, more awards chat coming up in this podcast. We'll be back with you to say goodbye later.
Enjoy it.
The all-new Adam and Joe podcast has an all-new name. Podmax. The name will never be used out loud or written down.
Podmax.
But from now on, whenever you think about the Adam and Joe podcast,
Podmax.
Think Podmax.
That's the raconteurs, of course, being Brendan Benson and Jack White of the White Stripes. That's a track from their new album, Consolers of the Lonely, and it's called Top Yourself, which is a shame. That album was released last week. Have you bought that yet, Joe?
Of course. I've got, I've actually made a suit out of copies of it.
Yeah.
A sort of flappy plastic suit.
Is that the one you're wearing now?
Yeah.
It's looking good.
Thanks
man.
A lot, man.
Looks really wicked.
Yeah, I love that album so much.
Yeah.
The thing about that song, though, is he's talking about euthanasia.
Z.
And some kind of a pact where two people have decided to assist one another in exiting this mortal coil, this miserable place that we call the world.
The stinky dog box.
And he's saying, how are you going to do it if I've already done it?
Right.
Isn't he?
You know, there's a film that tackles that exact
problem. I'm sure there's some kind of Heath Robinson-style device, like in Omen 3, when he... we probably shouldn't talk about this sort of thing. Do you remember that bit in Omen 3 where he's got the shotgun?
Right.
And he's pointed it at himself.
It's the kind of
thing. Tied a bit of string that goes around the office.
Yeah.
And the other end is tied to the door.
Yeah.
And the secretary just comes in to deliver him a document.
Oh, that's right.
Excuse me, sir. Telephone.
He can't be bothered
his
to do it himself.
Over the back wall.
It's the same logic as when you've got a wobbly tooth. and your mum
sort of Dickensian method.
Yeah, did your mum ever do that?
Contemporary mums do that. Your mum didn't, did she?
She did.
You're kidding me.
Yeah, she did. She
That's not even Victorian.
Tied a piece of string to the wobbly tooth.
She didn't.
And tied the other end of the string to the door handle.
But this was that was the 70s? 80s even?
70s.
The 70s. They had dentists in the 70s.
Not random.
And drugs. That's shocking.
It was very wobbly.
I want to get your mum on the phone.
I was anxious about it, obviously, but it was just hanging on a thread, the thing.
That's ridiculous. Maybe that would be a good text. The Nation would be like self-surgery. For instance, trying to get a splinter out. You know, moments when you actually try and operate on yourself.
And get out the scalpel.
There are some good stories.
Start digging.
Tied a string around your tooth, then slammed the door.
Just talking.
So, listen. Folks, we won an award. That's amazing. Don't you reckon?
You said that really intimately. Into the mic, really intimately. It was quite troubling.
Did you get creeped out by it?
It's made my testicles contract.
You didn't have to say that. Why would you possibly have to?
Because someone will laugh.
Give people that piece of information.
One listener might laugh.
Well, listen, we're excited about it. We won this award.
And it does happen.
Oh, stop talking
about
it.
It's part of the life of a man.
Move on.
Like a weather vane. A fleshy weather vane.
No. Anything else?
God, no, that's
on the subject.
Move on.
Oh, now we can move on. Yeah, so listen, we won this BPG award. The BPG is the Broadcasting Press Guild or the British Press Guild.
Broadcasting Press Guild. It's made up of journalists who write about the media.
Yeah.
And they have an award ceremony every year. It's quite an intimate affair. About 300 people there, maybe fewer, 200 at the Theatre Royal.
Drury Lane.
It was very exciting. We were nominated with quite a high-powered field. Chris Moyles,
yeah. The News Quiz.
Beyond Belief. A show called Beyond Belief. A Radio 4 series. We thought we didn't have any chance of winning. But who knew? We won it. And we had to go up and make a speech and everything. There was a kind of a posh dinner.
We hadn't really prepared anything, you know, because the only other award we've ever won in our lives was 10 years ago, and it was an RTS award. At that award ceremony, you didn't even have to say anything. In fact, they asked you not to say anything on stage. You just went up.
I like it.
You shook Carol Vorderman's hand, pinched her bottom, and got your award and left the stage.
It's very nerve-wracking sitting there waiting for your turn to go up, as I'm sure a lot of listeners will appreciate. You know, you listen to everybody else doing their speech, and everyone else was very impressive. Well, first up was Andrew Marr.
Andrew Marr. So Marr wins the first award, and he comes up and he delivers like a little State of the Nation address. All
confident,
about
authoritative.
The state of the BBC and stuff. Very pro-BBC, but very balanced and, you know, exactly what you'd expect from Marr.
And then the James Gordon, is he called, from Gavin and Stacey.
Oh, yeah.
Came up, and the lady who plays Stacey, and they made a very funny speech, got everyone laughing.
Yeah.
We thought, man, we're in trouble.
We're in big trouble, Oggs. And then finally, it was our turn, and we were around about three quarters of the way through this ceremony, and so
we climb up on the stage to make our speech.
But
it was already
shambolic. We went up on the stage. As soon as we got to the stage, they started playing the clip, and then this photographer was sort of saying, "Can you stand over here so we can take a picture?" So we were sort of flustered,
but it was all right.
Yeah. So I said a few words just to put everyone at ease.
Did you? What did you say?
Do you remember my crazy, funny stuff about, oh, this is the big award of the day? That's the, you know, I was talking about the clip that they just heard.
Right.
Because it sounded like an embarrassing clip, you know, and most people in the room clearly had no clue who we were.
So to cut to the chase, the long and short of it is that we took a kind of comic angle of being overly self-aggrandizing. Similar tactic. Well, you just said this is the big award of the night, right?
Yeah, but that was a total, obviously a joke. Yes, exactly. I know what you're saying.
We set the tone of no one knows who we are, so we'll kind of go the other way.
That's right.
As if we're amazing. And I ended up saying...
you said, finally, this award proves that our show is much, much better than Chris Moyles and way better than the News Quiz. And it proves categorically that our show is the best radio show in the world.
This was after some comments that were clearly self-effacing, right?
Mm-hmm.
I didn't just come out and say that. I thanked a lot of people very sincerely.
Mm-hmm.
The room seemed to understand. Oh, before I said that, I'll explain who we were. I said, look, no one in this room knows who we are.
Right.
So we're Adam and Joe were on Six Music. I told them when the show goes out. So it was clearly coming from the angle that no one knows who we are.
Yeah. However.
However, we descend the stage, back to the table. There's only a couple more awards. The ceremony ends. Buxton heads to the loo.
Buxton goes to his favourite room, and I go in there. And earlier in the evening, earlier in the afternoon, an award had been won by the Top Gear team, and they were there represented by Hammond the hamster and a couple of their producers there.
Richard Hammond looking very like Mark Owen circa his Green Man album.
His eyes just seem to get bigger and bigger.
Big
hamster.
Big necklace with wooden beads, a green tweed suit as if it was woven from moss.
Tousled hair.
Yeah.
Anyway, so I go in into the urinal and there's the hamster.
There's two producers there from Top Gear as well.
Yeah.
A couple of producers all looking like kind of angry, cool dads.
They look like sort of cops from Life on Mars, most of the producers on.
Very, obviously very confident.
Top Gear.
And in charge of the situation, being a very, very popular and good show. I'm a big fan of Top Gear.
You are. You're a Top Gear fan. I don't like Top Gear.
Not
anyway, so I walk into the lab and the producer is saying to Hammond the hamster, yes, you know, and they're sort of lording it over the competition and acting like they're really. And then he stops talking when I come in and Hammond looks over at me and goes, whoop, 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 makes that noise, right? And then says, button it, like that.
So Adam's convinced, and we're now convinced, that they were talking about us.
Right.
They didn't get the joke. They thought we were very arrogant.
And then when they saw me coming into the lavvy, they were like, ooh, no, we don't want to fight Buxton because Buxton's tasty. He could easily take the hamster.
He's tasty.
But I wasn't absolutely sure they were talking about us. Right?
Yeah, so the long and short of it is we're trying to create some kind of a feud with Top Gear in a way that people create feuds with more famous people so that they can elevate themselves.
I went back into the dining room and they'd split.
How can Top Gear think we're arrogant? That just makes no sense mathematically.
There's no irony in the world of Top Gear.
Maybe. How are we going to find out? Can we send an email to Top Gear? To one of their producers? If anybody involved in Top Gear is listening, we need to get somehow in touch with... Who was it? It was the hamster and...
It was a silver-haired producer.
Right, who was all dressed in black.
Yeah. He was a little frightening looking.
An impressive man. Talented.
Yeah.
Powerful. Clever. And, figure out this feud.
Yeah. Let's settle our differences and go for a big, long drive with some loud...
Yeah.
Thin Lizzy play.
Text the Nation. Text the Nation.
What if I don't want to?
Text the Nation.
But I'm using email. Is that a problem?
It doesn't matter. Text!
Today, we're asking you to send in your thoughts or anecdotes about self-surgery, which we were talking about a little bit earlier.
We don't want anything too graphic.
There must be some kind of show on a digital channel called Real Self-Surgery. And if there isn't, come on, please can we have one? It would be a delight to watch and hear the anecdotes of the people involved in self-surgery when self-surgery goes wrong.
Here's a particularly nasty sounding one from Nick. Are you ready?
Yeah.
When I got a blood blister under my fingernail... I decided to drill through the nail to release the pressure
what
and ease the pain.
What the heck are you thinking?
Do you want me to continue?
Yes.
I must have pushed too hard on the drill because I accidentally drilled quite far into my finger. The pain was so great that I quickly pulled my hand away and snapped the drill bit off finger. Is this real?
I don't believe that.
I don't recommend doing it. I believe it.
Snap the drill bit.
Who would use a drill to do that anyway?
Jeez.
You'd have to be very, very handy with the drill to control the depth to which it drills.
He's not using a big, fat drill, though. I imagine he's using one of those slightly more precision handheld thingies, you know?
There's one that starts off from someone in Australia. It's anonymous. It says, my friend Tom Briggs got a tick in his todger. Camping in Australia. My friend Tom Briggs got a tick in his todger.
Not a tick in the todger.
You got a tick in your todge, mate.
Hey, mate.
I'm having trouble doing a wee-wee. Ah, you must have a tick in your
todge. Probably got a tick in the todge there,
mate.
There
he is, cheeky little fella.
You should burn
Come
it
out,
off.
Mate.
Watch out. Here's another little bit. It might be wicked. It might be one of the weaker bits. But that's cool. I like weaker bits. I can handle up to three.
So listen, listeners, in a second we're going to reveal the winner of last week's Kate Nash Song Wars competition. We both wrote parodies of Kate Nash. I use the word parody in the loosest possible term.
I was going to say.
And I think it's going to be a close one this week.
I hope so. You know, I would certainly be very angry indeed if I lost and it was a walkover. I'd be absolutely furious. I'm not going to pretend I wouldn't be.
Well, there's something to look forward to. Rig the vote.
We like a bit of fury.
You know, if it was close, for example, if you won and it was 55% of the vote that you won, I could live with that, but I'd still be a little bit grumpy.
So you reckon over a 5% difference and you'll be annoyed?
Yeah, I would say so.
Really? Can you be guaranteed to go into a rage?
60-40, I would just be sulky.
All right, so hang on, you're changing it now. So 10% sulky.
Sulky. 70-30... very aggressive, very defensive indeed, and chippy.
All right.
For the rest of the show. 80-20, I'd be angry.
What's, hang on, aggressive and chippy?
Yeah, a little, and sort of sarcastic.
Chippy and sarcastic. Well, you're being very controlled. I'm just writing these down so I can hold him to them.
80-20, angry. 90-10, absolutely furious, spitting with rage. Livid. Unable to speak. I'd have to back
That's
off from the mic.
That's happened in the past, hasn't it? It happened in the past. And the fury sort of resonated for the next few weeks.
That's right.
Like a kind of, you know, I don't know the words. But like
fart.
A fart. Or what do you call it when a nuclear bomb goes off and you get the ripples?
Oh, yes.
Ripples. Nuclear ripples.
That's exactly
it's a new ice cream from Walls.
Who will win the Song Wars today? Perhaps it will be Adam, or it could be Joe. Either one, you will be the one who decides by texting or emailing when you hear the clips.
Oh. Last week's Song Wars listeners was a Kate Nash, sort of a parody sort of a thing, playoff, fight off.
Mess.
So we've got lots of emails in voting, and often when people vote, they put one or two little comments. And I'm going to read a couple that illustrate the gulf in people's views of Song Wars. For instance, Paul Davey says he gives his vote, which I won't reveal. Maybe I will. He says, I'm going to vote for Adam's song, although Joe's was also very good.
That's nice.
They were very Kate Nash-esque lyrics. You should make sure she doesn't rip them off for her next single. I think this was, all told, the best Song Wars so far.
Wow.
Whereas Sarah Gauthier says, have to say, I was a bit disappointed with this week's offerings. Had very high hopes for the Kate Nash off.
I love the idea of her sat there all keyed up with a little glass of champagne.
Champagne?
And then she hears the songs and she pours the champagne back in the bottle.
How disappointing. I think I will go and see
That's
Barbara
very
this morning.
Disappointing. Listen, Tammy, I'm not coming over after all. I know we had a fun Saturday planned, but I'm a bit disappointed because of Song Wars. And so I'm going to stay home and just maybe paint the walls or cry. So I'll see you later. Anyway, shall we open the envelope?
Sure. Here's the envelope. It's a genuine envelope.
It is. It's all sealed and everything.
It's sealed. You know, I'm going to lose. My prediction is I lose this by about, I'd say it's about 40-60.
You reckon?
Yeah.
Surely not. I think it'd be closer than that.
Hmm.
What is it? Oh, he's won. You're joking.
No, I haven't won. Joe gets 38%. Adam gets 62%.
That's all right. You can live with that.
So where does that fit on the... I don't mind. Where does that fit on the grumpy meter? No, you've won, so that's fine. So what am I allowed to be slightly sulky?
I'm delighted. Yeah, slightly sulky. So. Here's the winning track. This is Bums and Binge Drinking.
I was a bit depressed today, so I started thinking about binge drinking around 3 o'clock. So I went and done a little knock on the door of my best friend Mandy and my boyfriend Andy. He was Randy, I could tell, cause he kept looking at my bum like he was some kind of pervy bum fan. Bums and binge drinking and bums. When I get depressed, I like to go binge drinking with my chums. Why are you depressed, said Mandy, but not Andy. When we was at the shops, buying alcohol pops, Mandy never stops asking me questions like that. So I told her, Mandy, it's the media, they make my bum feel fat. I have to go binge drinking just so I can deal with that. Bums and binge drinking and bums. When I get depressed, I like to go binge drinking with my chums. La 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 la, rooty toot, yeah, what I'm feeling, oh so blue. My bum is not quite perfect and my boyfriend's rubbish too. Oh my gosh, I was so drunk that night, I threw up on Andy and we had a big fight. Then Mandy puked and then we had a meal, and later on we all watched Balls of Steel. Then I felt quite happy, then I was sad, and I thought, I wonder how many drinks I've had. And then I threw up, and then I passed out. It was so embarrassing, my bum was hanging out. Bums and binge drinking and bums. When I get depressed, I like to go binge drinking with my chums. Bums and binge drinking and bums. When I get depressed, I like to go binge drinking with my chums. Bums and binge drinking, what binge drinking and bums. When I get depressed, I like to go binge drinking with my chums. Bums and binge drinking, what binge drinking and bums.
There we go, that's the winning Song Wars song, composed by a young artist called Adam Buxton, who's going to go places.
Thank you very much. I'm to the lavatory, in fact, very shortly.
Nice. Some really pretty revolting stuff's coming in, but I guess that was the idea. Some of this is a bit too extreme, though. We're looking for sort of fun things. You know, the lighter side of self-surgery.
Give us the most extreme one that you can actually read out.
Okay, I used a razor to shave off a spot on my face. Alas, it was a hemangioma, a benign tumour with its own blood vessel. It bled for 3 hours. I had to have a proper operation, Jim, in Oxford. Yeah, you asked for it. There's lots of good ones. My dad used his car keys to remove our splinters. It was a killer. And he was so bad at cutting toenails, I was scared of the task into my 20s,
right.
Says Andy on the Wirral. Oh, tough stuff. But
I mean, now that I'm a parent myself, and I have to occasionally perform surgery on them when they get splinters, it's funny being on the other side, because it's sort of enjoyable. You know, it's nice to do a little
bit
of surgery.
Well, you can't feel the pain.
Yes, that's true.
So it brings out your psychopathic, your sociopathic tendencies.
But obviously, as a parent, you're keen to inflict as little pain as possible on the children, unless you really loathe them, in which case you shouldn't really have them. But, you know, you take a pride in how precise you can be with the needle, and how, and because they freak out. As soon as they've got a splinter and you get their scalpel out, they're like, no, don't touch my finger. And you're like, hey, don't worry, it's Dr. Buckles. I'm the king. I'm like a top surgeon. I will have this thing out in a jiffy, and you do all like distraction and stuff. But then they start thrashing around, and you just have to hold them down, because if they're thrashing around, Dr. Buckles can't get.
You're
going to
be arrested.
Good
at
purchase
the end of this program
with the scalpel.
If you keep going. Matthew says, "I once removed a verruca with a Lego brick as a child."
That's not a good idea, though. What kind of Lego brick would have
I assume the pointy edge of one of those bricks.
Yeah, but you've not got any precision with those.
Yeah, but sometimes, and this happens with spots a lot, you have to use what comes to hand, don't you?
Lego?
You don't necessarily have the correct implements, so you have to improvise.
You hand me the red block.
Doctor. John in Newcastle says, "I once accidentally stood on a nail on the way back from school. I had to pull it out. The worst bit being that my friend had to half carry me home, so we looked like we were having cuddles to the rest of the kids walking back from school."
Couple of dresses.
To John in Newcastle, the idea that somebody might think he was in love with another man
is so appalling.
It's worse than having nails driven into his limbs. very contemporary attitude, John.
That's
welcome to the 90s.
That's frightening stuff, though, man. If you haven't had your tetanus shots, you know.
And here's one I simply don't understand. Maybe you can help me. It's from Esmeralda in Walthamstow. "I pierced my own nose." Oh, right. So she's actually trying to do piercing. And this must be a thing that's common to a lot of girls. I remember when I was a girl. When I was young, my sister wanted to pierce her ears because my parents wouldn't let her.
Yeah, carry on then.
"I pierced my own nose by sticking a cooked sausage into my left nostril, then stabbing a needle into my nose to make the hole."
What is the logic there? That the sausage is going to cushion
the sausage
the
expands
impact.
The nostril and smells good and is tasty after. And it fits. It was probably a chipolata. She was 14. It hurt and smelt for a long time.
That is absolute lunacy.
Now, we should make it clear, this being the Big British Castle, that in no way do we encourage or condone you to attempt to mutilate or self-surgerise your body.
No way.
This is not some kind of Johnny Knoxville jackass.
That's the correct way to pronounce it.
I sort of swallowed midway through talking. That's not how I really talk.
Come on, man.
It's not some jackass-style thing So don't do any of these things. Don't copy them.
No, yeah? Absolutely not. If you've got any problems there, any ingrowing hairs,
see a doctor or talk to your parents. Talk to someone who knows what they're talking about.
Give Dr. Buckles a call.
All right.
I'll be over with my surgery bag.
Okay.
That was a great chat. Here comes another. Adam and Joe are rocking the podcast now.
Martin, excuse me.
That's Young Love by the Mystery Jets featuring Laura Marling. That's good, man, and that's got a good video with it
Has
well.
It? What happens in the video?
Well, it's just a very simple, graphic-y kind of video, and it's all shot from above. The Mystery Jets are all lying down on kind of roller things, and people are pushing them on the rollers up and down in the frame.
It's good, isn't it?
Do you understand what I'm saying?
I do understand. Anyone who comes up with a sort of new visual idea for a pop video is pretty clever after all these years.
It's a smash of a track as well.
Talking of good videos, have you seen the Argentinian gnome video?
No. What's going on
now,
there?
Now, lots of people will know what I'm talking about out there, especially if they read the tabloids and stuff, because I think The Sun had it up on their website and stuff. It's the latest spooky YouTube video.
Yeah.
All you need to put into the search field of YouTube is Argentinian gnome.
G-N-O-M-E.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it is an appearance by a terrifying gnome. It's kind of grainy. It's shot on somebody's camera phone, and it's got three Argentinian teenagers sort of sitting on a pavement, as far as I can make out. One of them seems to be sort of putting a balaclava on or something. They're just joking, having little early evening jokes. Then suddenly one of them says something in Argentinian, and the camera pans to up the street. And you can see it's nighttime. There's sort of orangey streetlight and shadows, and you can see a sort of figure moving on the left of frame, coming out of the shadows. Then the camera zooms in, and it's basically a gnome. A tiny little man with a pointy hat. Seriously, a sort of silhouette of him.
Right.
A lot of people listening will know exactly what I'm talking about because they will have seen it. And you think, well, hang on, that's just like a baby or maybe a jockey on his way home. But then suddenly it does these weird sort of dancey hop steps into the middle of the road, sort of as if it's holding something, pointing at them.
Uh-huh.
But the way it sort of dances and sidesteps in a weird sort of leprechaun-y, terrifying way is really genuinely unsettling and frightening.
Uh-huh.
And then suddenly the kid behind the camera just screams. Because at that point, it could go either way. You're thinking, is this ridiculous?
Fun gnome or a deadly gnome?
Exactly. And the scream does it. The guy screams a blood-curdling scream. Cuts to black. It's brilliant.
Is it? But so this has got to be a little virally CG thing, right?
I don't think it is. I mean, it's an effect that could be
done. So you're saying
it's
a real deadly gnome. So I'm going to check out the Argentinian gnome, and I'm going to rule once and for all.
I'm not saying that it's real. I'm just saying that it's very well done.
Well, I'd like to see if it's well done. Yeah, I'd like to see that.
Yeah, what? Yeah, what? Yeah, what?
During that track, I checked out the Argentinian gnome on YouTube. I mean, it's got all the hallmarks of a classic viral.
What's it advertising?
Thing
gnomes?
One, I don't know, no, but sometimes virals are just made for the sake of themselves. You know what I mean? It's just a fun little sketch to put on YouTube. You know, first giveaway thing is that it's shot on a camera phone, right? I mean, that's a classic viral tool.
You're such a skeptic, Adam Buxton.
No, it's just fun.
You would be such a good person to have in a horror film where it turned out that things like that were real.
Yes,
because you'd be so... You're a good person to have in any kind of situation where one's imagination runs away with oneself because you're very down to earth.
Because I'm thick.
You're not thick. You just have a generally, you know, quite... Not dismissive, but very, you know, down-to-earth attitude to things.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Case in point, the gnome.
The gnome.
That's genuinely real. The proof of the existence of tiny men. Buxton, no, it's a viral, it's a sophisticated advertising. You'll probably find that a new brand of chocolate bar, the Chewy Gnome Bar, comes out and that gnome is all over the place. You think those are trained kids.
It might be
It's probably shot by Vilos Zsigmond.
Mm.
Who's he? Is that the right way to say his name?
I don't even know who you mean.
He's a cinematographer. And, you know, when I saw that, I immediately thought, they're real!
No, what Buxton is thinking with his cold, brilliant mind is giveaway number one, shot on a camera phone. Easy to manipulate the footage. Giveaway number two, kids in the... why are you shooting the kids on the street? Why do we care? So you've got like a good minute of setup of very banal
but
footage.
But that's skilled in and of itself.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So, you know, why would they be shooting each other? Yeah, it's the kind of thing kids do on a camera phone. Yeah, but so what? And then at the end of this setup, you've got the little payoff, and it's always a sort of grainy thing in the middle distance, whether it's a...
And a nice zoom.
Yeah.
So you get close, but you don't get more detail.
You know, and you get in there and you can easily ape the grain on After Effects there and fool around with
right.
it.
Although looking at the video in question, I would say that they haven't treated it too much. They've actually used a little man.
A little man.
Yeah.
A tiny little man.
I wouldn't call him a gnome. But
his proportions are very realistic, aren't they? I'd call him a gnome, even if he wasn't.
Well, he's a little man, I would say.
Right.
I don't know what the politically correct term is.
I find it very chilling, and I'm afraid I think fairies, gnomes and pixies, because of what Al Gore has done to the planet,
yeah.
are coming out of the forests to reclaim their territory. I think it's going to be a war between woodland, mystical, mythical creatures and humans. That's a good film pitch. Maybe yeah. that's the twist to M. Night Shyamalan's The Happening
uh-huh.
that we were talking about the other week. Maybe
gnomes.
That's the twist that the gnomes are behind it all. And at the end, they come dancing out, sidestepping of the forest, singing gnome songs, smoking pipes. Chilling stuff.
Smoking pipes.
Yeah. Pipes are evil.
Watch out. Here's another little bit. It might be wicked. It might be one of the weaker bits. But that's cool. I like weaker bits. I can handle up to three.
Text the Nation this week has been self-surgery moments when you've injured yourself in a minor non-hospital way and actually attempted to operate. Here's one from Tom in Eastbourne. I had to reset my friend's arm after it popped out of the socket when we were camping.
Oh.
He screamed like a banshee as two of our other friends had to pin him down to stop him thrashing and I reset the arm into the socket. We were only 13 at the time, says Tom.
Actually, that's not a bad one. I mean, I wouldn't
do that.
Would you
I think that's something you see in films, but I'm sure it's not as simple as like popping out a Playmobil character's arm
yeah.
or an action figure's arm. It's not just a ball and socket.
Of course,
there's
it is.
Sinew and ligament there. And what if you trapped something, a nerve? You don't want to. I don't know, Matt. I don't think you want to do that without training.
Hmm.
Put it this way: I don't want you doing it to me.
I do want to do it without training. I think it would be fun. I like the idea. And you talking about play people makes me want to do it even more.
Yes, actually, play people's arms didn't pop out. Busybodies did.
Right.
Play people, who are now called Playmobil,
uh-huh.
I think their arms, that it would just snap off.
Busybodies. And, of course, with Weebles, it wasn't even an issue.
They didn't have arms.
No.
But they certainly didn't fall down. Okay. I'm going to speed through some of these because there are good ones. I tried to fix my Muhammad Ali boxing puppet. I was a tomboy using my teeth. As the spring had come loose, the said spring sprang back and became lodged in the roof of my mouth. My dad used a disgorger, a tool used to remove hooks from fish's mouths, to remove it.
Good
gross
thinking, Dad.
And he didn't clean it first. Dad. That's anonymous. Here's one from Dominic in Cardiff. I fractured my fingers whilst driving across the Australian outback and had to use my daughter's Barbie doll leg as a splint. She wasn't happy and cried for about 70 miles. A couple more?
Yeah, go on.
Once tried to pop a zit by getting the toy cannon from my Lego pirate ship, placing the end over the zit and firing a Lego cannonball at it. It didn't work. It was the most intense pain I've ever experienced. I don't recommend it.
What a loony.
Oh, boy.
Hey, we never discovered what happened to the Todge.
We didn't discover what happened to the Todge. With the tick in it.
Yeah.
The tick in the Todge.
Got a tick in the Todge
there,
mate.
I'll have to, like, rewind for that one. It's on a previous page of text.
Okay, so that'll be the coda for yeah. Destination.
Just talking.
Breaking news, we've just had an email from the producer of Top Gear, and I quote, "Now listen up, you two, let's get this thing straight. I better read this in a more sort of aggressive Top Gear style
voice." Yeah, yeah, yeah.
"Now listen up, you two, let's get this thing straight. My name's Pat Doyle, I'm the series producer on Top Gear."
The Doyler, the Doylemeister.
The Doyle, the Doylet. Flush your Doylet. "I wasn't at the awards yesterday, brackets, we've won so many already I couldn't be bothered to go along to yet another one, close brackets. However, the grey-haired bloke you saw chatting with Hammond would have been Andy Willman, the executive producer. He's the big boss of Top Gear, and his word is law." Capitals.
Mm-hmm.
"So, if you thought your speech was out of order, then it was out of order. Up to now, we've had no beef with your little show, but you're on our radar now. Back off, Adam and Joe, or get ready to rumble."
There you go.
Wow, he's like citing Anton Deck there
yeah.
as a throwdown. That's
now,
tough talk.
I should say that I think I've met Pat before, and he's very nice, and he sounds like
hey.
He sounds nothing like the guy that you did. I've deflated your
You've utterly
email.
Deflated
yeah.
Pat Trick's brilliant posturing and our whole dramatic panto-style build-up of the feud.
But it's the Big British Castle. For the sake of balance,
that's
true.
We have to be honest.
I have to point out.
We'd like to remind you that this feud with Top Gear is a charade and merely created as entertainment to draw you
It's not. Well, Pat wasn't there.
Might be real. He doesn't know. He's going to find out. Patrick, if you're still listening, we'd very much like you to speak to the hamster and also Mr. Black Smock.
Well, what's he called? Andy Millman. He's got the same name as the guy on Extras.
Yeah, there you go. Andy Willman.
Andy Willman.
We'd like you to speak to them and just find out what they were talking about in the bog, whether it pertained to us, and get back to us. That would be brilliant. We'd be really grateful. And, you know, we'd be especially grateful if Adam was right and there was a feud, because that would be wicked.
And then I'm prepared to fight the hamster. I'm not so
wow, keen. Wow, you're courageous.
On
you're a big man.
Guys, they look frightening.
Nice.
Hey there, well, that's the end of this week's podcast. There'll be another one at the same time next week. And if you're worried that you can't find the old podcasts, we often get emails saying, why aren't they archived? Then there's no way to get them, really.
There's not much we can do about
that. No, they don't
archive
them.
Surely there's someone sticking them up on some illegal P2P file sharing site.
Probably. But we wouldn't want to encourage that.
No, because then we'd be encouraging anarchy.
Take the award away.
Exactly.
We can't have that.
Well, if you tattooed it onto your face, as you were suggesting earlier, the award that is, then they could never take it away from us. We'd always have it on your face.
Oh, that's the great thing about tattoos. Hey, listen, if you want to contribute to the show, don't forget you can email adamandjoe.sixmusic@bbc.co.uk anytime during the week. That's it.
That's pretty much it. That's a snappy little ending you got there.
Thanks, mate. I sort of spoke on the wrong note, didn't I? Thanks for listening.
Take care.
Goodbye.
Bye, I love you.
BBC Six Music Podcasts. If you liked Adam and Joe, why not try Jarvis Cocker's Six Music Show? Sundays from 4. Six Music.